Good afternoon. It's good to be back. God is good. A few weeks ago, I was at a training for work, and the company that I work for, we do inspections in refineries and chemical plants, and so there's a lot of training safety that has to be continuously reviewed and renewed. And a lot of times you go and you sit in these classes, and sometimes you end up watching videos for a couple of hours, and it can get really boring. It's like watching driver's ed videos. Not the ones that my wife was in, because those are a lot more entertaining. In case you don't know, my wife was an actress in a driver's ed video. But so I was sitting there, and I was watching, and I was really interested in the way that they were communicating. And my coworkers think I'm crazy because they hate all of it. But I really like to hear how people communicate things. And two things jumped out at me. I was really impressed with this one video I was watching, because they were making it a very pointed effort to cultivate a culture and a mindset in their people. They wanted people to be thinking safety, whether they were out in the field, driving in their car, or in a corporate environment. And we kind of laugh at it, because they do these things called safety moments, and it gets ridiculous because they come from a position of fear sometimes. But when you get to see firsthand the devastation and the death that can be prevented by following safety, it starts to really hit home. And it really means a lot to me as a dad, being in these plants, because they have these signs up and they're always reminding you, we want you to go home the way you came in. You want to go home to the people that you love. And so they were talking about having a culture and a mindset, but also they said one of the biggest threats to safety is the misuse of words. Two people can call the same two different things the same word and can be talking about completely different things. One can hurt you and the other can kill you. And I was sitting there. I've never seen this before. They've never seen graphic stuff like this, but making sure there's no kids. Sitting there in the class, and there's a picture of a guy's ring finger just completely taken off the bone, because he was not supposed to be wearing a ring in the area where he was working. It got caught in a piece of machinery. It completely took it off. And another gentleman stepped in a pool of water. They teach you, if you ever see water on the ground, you don't step in it. And if you see water dripping, you don't go under it. You always go around it, because you don't know that it's water. And this one gentleman stepped in a puddle of water. And when he went to take his boot off at the end of his shift, half of his foot was eaten up. It was gone. And so I really... That stood out to me, because I see a similarity, need and opportunity in the body of Christ and the kingdom of God, because the words that we use have meaning. God is very specific. He's a God of words. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he was quoting Deuteronomy back when a time when God was explaining why the manna came down, and the people, he told the people a specific way to eat the manna, and if they didn't follow his instructions, they got sick. And it's not about the bread, it's about what God says. If God says, eat this bread and don't pick up too much of it, do what he says, because the bread is not your sustenance. God's word is your sustenance. You live off of every word that comes out of his mouth. And so my message today is called Fire, Faith, and Our Father. And the other day, I was sitting at home. I love fire. If anyone who's been over to our house knows, I love fire. We've got a gas stove, we've got a fireplace, and we've got a fire pit in the backyard, and I love fire. And when I was in Boy Scouts, they called me Smokey, because I was always the one in charge of the fire. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, God just started speaking to me through my kids and the situation at being at home. And he just started showing me that as a father, you tell your kids, don't touch the fire. And when they're young, all they understand is no. And when, especially when they're babies and toddlers, you can't explain it to them. You just say no. And they learn to obey out of fear. But then as they get a little bit older and they start to know your heart, and maybe they accidentally touch it and they realize it's hot, and they're like, they start to understand, Daddy loves me. He's telling me no because he loves me. And they start to trust you. But they still don't understand what fire is and how to manage it or how to use it or how to control it or anything like that. And that's the journey from knowledge to understanding to maturity, which is wisdom. And in Proverbs, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we are all like little children on a journey in our faith from knowing God from a legal standpoint and know to coming to the place where we understand what the fire is for. You can cook with fire. You can purify with fire. You can bring warmth. You can bring light. You can create. You can build. You can do so many different things. And but again, depending on what stage you are and where you are in your heart, determines there's a different way that you relate to the instruction, the word that you're hearing from God on that. So I wanted to use that as an analogy to jump into a couple of things that are commonly misused or misunderstood in the body of Christ in the kingdom. I had an experience in high school. I was talking to a girl in one of my classes, and we were talking about God and stuff, and I remember she said to me, she said, "I don't believe in God." And she said, "God says that sex is a sin, and so I just don't believe in God." She was very proud of her sex life, and I'm sorry to be vulgar. And I didn't know how to answer. I was just like, I don't even know how to respond to this. But that's not what God says. God created physical intimacy for a husband and wife in a covenant relationship. He didn't say, don't do it. He said, don't use this thing in a wrong way, just like fire. Don't touch it like this, but learn how to use it in the right way. God doesn't speak anymore because we have the Bible. That's a lie that's been taught in seminaries for a long time. And part of the reason why they taught it is because there were people claiming to hear from God, and they were just going off the reservation and saying, you know, God told me to, you know, believe for this man's house and this man's wife and, you know, just all kind of stupid things like that. But Jesus said specifically in that verse that I just shared, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The funny thing is, he was talking to Satan, and he quoted scripture, and he said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So he actually quoted the written word to declare that it's not just the written word, it's every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Those of you that know me and know my wife, Angie, you're actually seeing an example of me living off of the word of God in my life, because I prayed and specifically asked, God, who am I supposed to marry? And it's a really cool story, and I'll tell you some other time, but I got a rhema word from God that she was the one. And so that's not written in the Bible, but that was a word of God for my life. It's not for anybody else. It was for me. So the cool thing about God and how he speaks is this is a record of what he's said, and he still speaks through this, and he's never going to contradict it. That's what makes God God. He's congruent, he's consistent, and he's never going to violate that. A couple of other things. Money is the root of all evil, and God commands you to sell everything and be poor. Jesus told the rich young ruler, you go sell all of your goods, because that was the stronghold in his heart. But other people, that's not their stronghold. And it's not money is not the root of all evil, it's the love of money. Just a couple more things. Don't judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. That is a poor understanding of what the text says, because it's translated into English. What Jesus was saying is, do not judge someone in order to avoid judgment yourself. So if you've got a problem putting your hand into the cookie jar, stealing cookies, don't go tell on your sister to get them in trouble to avoid you being the one discovered. And there's just all kind of things like that. And it's been my experience and my conviction that God honors his word above his name. And so even if we know him as Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Jireh or God the healer or God our provider, or God is awesome in whatever, every single way. But if there's some part of our lives or some circumstance that we're experiencing where it doesn't seem to be lining up with what we believe God to be, he will wait for his word to become flesh in us and to be understood by us before he'll stand up and say, wait, that's not true. That's real. I'm really over here and I'm really doing this. God is willing to be misunderstood. And that is part of the journey of faith. That's why it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But I specifically want to talk about the word faith. Talking about words that are used interchangeably and don't have the same meaning all the time. When you use the word faith, a lot of times people are talking about other faiths. So they think that the word faith means religion or belief. So what's your faith? Oh, my faith is Buddhism. My faith is atheism. My faith is humanism. You know, your faith is Christianity. And they're not talking about the same thing that God is talking about. Faith from a biblical standpoint is alive. And God gave me this example. And so what I want you to do, I want you to imagine, do a little bit, use your imagination and pretend that I've got a little girl up here named Faith. I'm glad Faith came today. I thought that was a sign of confirmation to share this. And a toy doll the same size as the living girl. And they both wear the same clothes. They can fit into the same car seat. They can both wear the same things, etc. But one is alive and one is not. One was made in a factory. One was made in intimacy with heaven's help between a mother and a father. The difference between those two is reflective of the difference between the faith that we have in the kingdom versus all these iterations or definitions of faith that are so commonly thrown around. They can both be named Faith. You can name the toy doll Faith, but that doesn't mean that faith is the same faith. So the faith that we have is completely different from the faith that is often perceived or thought of in the world. One is growing and the other is not. One is alive and joyful and giggles and full of life, sometimes smelly, sometimes make messes, but growing. The other is not. And what's interesting about when you think about faith as a child, and you think about how we are in a pursuit to have faith in the body of Christ, think about having faith. If I'm the father of a little girl named Faith, I can't just have faith. I can't choose to have faith. And my wife can't choose to have faith. And if any of you know anyone who's ever tried to get pregnant and have children, just because you choose to have children doesn't mean that you get to have children. You've got to have heaven's help. The Spirit has to be imparted. It's the same way with spiritual faith. We can't just choose to have faith. Faith actually works. It produces works, but faith also works according to a certain order. And God explains it in Scripture, and it's very simple. But I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But just as natural man does not live by bread alone, justified man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, by hearing those words, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Romans 10:17, the just shall live by faith. Justified men and women will live by faith. Believers, you and I, will live by hearing and hearing by the word of God, every word that proceeds from his mouth. The cool thing about that verse in the Greek is it's the same word that Jesus used when he was quoting Deuteronomy. It's a spoken word. Just like God spoke a word to me about my wife, we as believers, we live by faith. We live by every word that God speaks. Our Father in heaven is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so just like faith as a little girl starts as a seed in the right environment, our spiritual faith starts by the word of God planted in our heart. We have to hear what he's saying. That's why we're big on what is God saying in prayer and in worship, in prophetic words, in the written word. We are a church that is in pursuit of what God is saying. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We can't make ourselves... Well, let me say it this way. There's one thing that God can't do. And this is one of the things that the world often criticizes God. Well, if you're God and you're so powerful, why can't you stop all this stuff? You're either not all good or you're not all powerful, but somehow this whole story that we've been told doesn't equate. And God cannot violate his own word. He gave us a choice. He told us to choose. So he can't force us to choose to agree with him. We're the ones that can say yes or no. So while we can't make ourselves have faith, we can stop his process of authoring and finishing our faith because we have to say yes. We have to step into that process and say, yes, Father, be it unto me according to thy word. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Think about everything we just talked about, and why would that be? If you're God, and you're the author and the finisher of faith, the only thing that pleases you is when we have faith. The next part of that verse says, because they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's three steps in there. If you're going to have faith, you got to first believe that he is, and then you've got to come to him, and then you got to keep coming, and you got to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith starts with a word, and we believe that he is, and then we start coming to him. And then there's testing, and there's waiting. We got to keep holding on. So there is a process where we are choosing to have faith, but it's not something that we're doing by our own willpower or on our own. It is a co-laboring. It's a partnership. But eventually you get to a point where faith hits that 9-month mark and she's born. And then she keeps growing. And then she turns into a little girl. And then she turns into an older girl. And then pretty soon she's not just listening to know, she's actually a partner in the family business. She knows how to use the fire. She knows how to cook the meals. She knows how to use the fire to clear the field. She's a partner. She's a co-laborer, and she's mature, and she walks in wisdom, and you're so proud as a daddy because she listened to you all those years, all those things that you were trying to share with her as she was growing up. And that is the picture of faith. That's what the Father wants. The Father wants faith and maturity. Because it's not his will to just be up in heaven and having everybody bowing down and being afraid of him. Like John said, Satan is the greatest believer that there ever was, but he's scared of God. That's not what God wants. He wants us to enter into a relationship and a friendship and a partnership and maturity and an understanding. The other day I had something really cool happen. I was talking to my wife, or somebody was over at our house, and one of my daughters, Hannah, just came and stood, and she just stood there quietly waiting for me to acknowledge her. And that was a big deal to me because we'd been training our kids that unless you're in trouble or in pain or in danger or there's an immediate need, you don't have the right to just come up and interrupt somebody when you want something, especially adults. Now, we're not practicing children are not meant to be seen and only heard. That we're not heard, but seen, but not heard. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with that process of teaching our girls how to interact, how to mature, and how to enter into a place of mutual respect so that they can be granted authority down the road. And God really spoke to me through that. And I'm going to tell you how in just a moment. I woke up Saturday morning, and I had a vision. And I was looking down, and I saw a picture like in a photo album. And all of a sudden, the picture started flipping, and there was different pictures of people. And I could see every picture very vividly. I could see every detail, every mark on people's faces. And all of a sudden, it started flipping really fast. And it sounded like when you shuffle a deck of cards. It's like, and I was seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And I remember seeing this one lady's face and thinking to myself, I have no idea who these people are. This is just a dream or something. And again, it was loud and noisy. I'm looking down, and I'm just seeing one picture at a time. And then all of a sudden, I was just seeing hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of people. I was starting to dismiss the vision and just walk away and just think it was nothing. And all of a sudden, I was looking out over a horizon, over a clouds, like when you're in an airplane and you get above the cloud cover. And I saw some of those pictures starting to float up to the heavens. And they were just slowly and quietly coming up through the clouds. And there was, by comparison, there was only a small percentage coming up through the clouds compared to what I was seeing beneath the clouds. And then all of a sudden, I heard these two words in my spirit, Our Father. And God just began to speak to me about the revelation behind Our Father. And when we hear those two words, we commonly think of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Those are the two words to the opening explanation that Jesus gave when the disciples asked him how to communicate with heaven. They saw something in Jesus that they had not seen anywhere else. That there was a dynamic aspect to his relationship. He got results. He walked in revelation. And they said, teach us to communicate with the Father that way. And all of a sudden, the Lord just started unpacking this and showing this to me. Jesus didn't go to them and say, okay, if you want to talk to my Father that way, go pray to my Father. And he said, it's not your Father, it's not his Father or her Father, it's our Father. And all of a sudden, he started speaking to me through all these things I've been sharing with you about analogies. His heart is as a father. He wants us to enter into his kingdom, to hear his words, to grow up into maturity. He can't honor one person's prayer over another if they come to him in the wrong way. You can be born again and be a husband and be out of fellowship, have unforgiveness, division between you and your wife, and your prayers will be hindered. You can have unforgiveness in your heart, and you can stumble spiritually. You can be open to spiritual attack. You can struggle spiritually, but you're still born again and going to heaven and have an inheritance and all that kind of stuff. What I was seeing in that vision was believers' faces, and they were all praying, but not all of their prayers were making it up to his throne. And he couldn't answer every single one of them because as a father, there is a way to enter into his presence that is different than just Savior. When you need a Savior, God help me, save me. The man on the cross next to Jesus, save me. Okay, you're with me in paradise. Boom. But after that, there's a growth process that's very much like raising a child. And when you're in diapers and you're newborn, it's okay to cry out when you need food or protection or something like that, immediate needs, that's okay. But as you grow, there's a different relationship that starts to develop. And I, as your father to my human daughter, I can't treat you the same way that I treated you when you were younger. And I can't let you do something that I've told one of your siblings that they're not allowed to. I've stepped in that as a dad. And as soon as I do, the other kid goes, foul ball, that's not fair, no. And God was just showing me his heart. As a father, he wants that maturity and that relationship and that intimacy with all of us. But the church as a whole does not know all that there is that needs to be known on how to enter into his presence. There's a maturity that God wants to happen. And just like in church today, we stayed on what we felt the Holy Spirit saying. There's an open heaven opportunity for every time we gather together as the body. That's one thing I love about this church and what you guys have imparted to us is to go after whatever God is doing in the moment. And that carries into whether you're in the store or whether you're in a prayer closet or whether you're preaching at a wedding or a funeral, whatever God is saying, go after it because that is the kingdom of God. And the, I want to read this real quickly. We cannot approach, as an unborn people, we cannot approach God in our sin. If we try to approach God without the Son, he has to deal with us as sin. And when we try to go get to the Father by going around the Son, like John said in one of his sermons, you lose both. We've got to come to the Father through the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We didn't lose heaven. We lost our relationship with the Father in the garden. And that's what Jesus came to give back. And then he embodied and lived out the reality, the revelation of what that looked like. When people asked him, how do you do these things? This is amazing. Jesus said, I'm only doing what I'm hearing and seeing my Father doing and saying. And so as I was just preparing for this, I just started to see this Father theme, that God's heart for us is that we would grow from maturity. You know, there may be areas of your life where you're mature and you've experienced victory. And then there can still be other fields that have not been developed yet. And you can still be in Pampers. And the enemy likes to come and say, you're such a failure. Why? If you really had it together over here, then you should have it together over here. And that's not true. And so I just feel several things, that God wants to expand our horizons. He wants us to see the more. He wants us to know that if any of us are experiencing prayers not being answered, to not give up, just humble yourself and say, God, what is it? How do I be like a little child who's learning to come into their Father's presence and say, God, how do I teach me how to walk with you? Teach me to hear your voice. Teach me how to be diligent and consecrated and vigilant so that when you are saying something or doing something, I'm most sensitive to it and I step into it. I loved what Lena said after Jess's sermon a couple of weeks ago, that this whole thing is not just for the loud or the boisterous. And Jess, what I loved about your message was that you taught by speaking truth, but you also taught by the way you spoke it. You didn't just get up and just start talking. You said, I'm going to listen to God, and if I have to pray five times, I'm going to pray, and we're just going to follow the Holy Spirit. That's the leading. That's what I love about the body of Christ, especially this congregation, and I believe that's our inheritance and that's our destiny. And so I wanted to, part of my objective today in bringing this message was just to share some ideas, some concepts, some scriptural truths that you may not have thought before, and also call to your attention the way that we've all been discipled and we're being discipled, whether we know it or not. You've heard me tell a story about faith as a little girl. You can take that and share that with anybody, anytime. You can talk about faith and fire and how we grow from a place of fear to a place of maturity. You've heard me talk about how just using the wrong words to describe the same thing can bring death or life. You can use any one of those analogies to share the gospel. My point is not saying go out and use the same story. It's just like Jess did in her sermon. It's not just what we say, it's how we say it. If you're in a store and God moves you to go talk to someone and give a word of encouragement or to lay hands on them, do it. It's not necessarily the words that you're going to speak. It's the fact that you are living out and acting out what he is doing in heaven, and you're making the connection with heaven so that heaven can be released on earth as it is in heaven. That's the destiny that God has for us. That's our inheritance. One final thing about the fire. You can obey out of fear. You can obey out of understanding. And you can obey out of a place of maturity and wisdom. And there's also several different other heart positions, if you will, that you can encounter or not touch the fire. You can bump into it by accident. You can fall over and you can get burned. You can just be ignorant or not informed and not know what the fire is, and you can get burned. But you can also be rebellious. And it just struck me that those are kind of six different heart positions that exist in all mankind. And you can take the subject of fire out, and you can put, like I said, the topic of sex in there, money, faith, whatever. Whatever the truth is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom for that truth. And it starts by God saying, what's right and what's wrong? We learn, okay, you're God, I'm going to obey you. And then you get to a point where you're like, okay, I know you love me. I don't really understand what's going on, but I'm still listening to you, what you say, you love me. But God's ultimate goal for us is not to get burned by accident or ignorance or rebellion, but to enter into that place of maturity. Because just like faith grows as a little girl, his heart is for her to inherit the estate and to become a co-heir and a co-laborer with him in expanding his kingdom. That's my teaching for today.